Today we are looking at part one of spiritual gifts. We had a member within our midst here who requested that we give this a study, and as I was going over it this week, I found that it was more than we could possibly cover in 1 week. So we will have at least 2 weeks, if not 3 weeks, on spiritual gifts. I think this subject has caused about as much controversy within Christendom as any other subject besides Sabbath. And so we're going to take a slow approach to this subject. We're going to break it down and look at it very carefully. So today will probably be more of an introduction than anything else. We will begin in Isaiah 8:20. Isaiah 8:20, it is a familiar scripture to Seventh-day Adventists. In fact, I don't know of a Seventh-day Adventist pastor that would not use this scripture as a basis for every study. And I will not be breaking rank at all here in using the scripture. It says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. To the law and to the testimony. We understand the law and the testimony to be the Old Testament scriptures. Generally, the first five books of the Old Testament are classified as the law, and then we have the prophets and the minor prophets and so forth, the testimony. If a teaching, if a doctrine does not agree with the Old Testament scriptures, then there is no light in it. So let us keep that in mind as we study this subject of spiritual gifts. I have on the board here an illustration which is supposed to represent Yah's face and his mouth blowing or breathing out of his mouth various gifts and offices, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits, wonder-working faith, the working of miracles, gifts of healing, gifts of prophecy, different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. There are apostles, there are prophets, teachers, elders, administrators, deacons, pastors, helpers, and evangelists. These are all gifts and offices breathed upon Yah's people by his very spirit. Why do we have these things given to us? Would our Father in heaven give us anything that we do not need? The scripture says that every good gift comes from the Father above. Let us continue with some scriptures that will help us be introduced to these spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I will be reading verses 1 through 10. And as our custom is, I will be reading from the King James Version. Paul, called to be an apostle of Yahshua the Christ. I will be changing the word Jesus to Yahshua in most cases. Through the will of God, and thus Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of Yah, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in the Messiah, Yahshua, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Yahshua, the Messiah, our Master, both theirs and ours, grace be unto you and peace from Yah our Father and from Yahshua our Messiah. I thank Yah always on your behalf for the grace, Yah of Yah, which is given you by Yahshua the Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of our Messiah was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Master, Yahshua the Messiah, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Master, Yahshua the Messiah. Yah is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Yahshua the Messiah, our Master. Now I beseech you, or I beg of you, brethren, by the name of our Master, Yahshua the Messiah, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined or united together in the same mind and in the same judgment. What a powerful passage of Scripture that is. Verse 5, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. And then in verse 7, so that ye come behind in no gift. That's speaking of spiritual gifts there. That ye come behind in no gift as you wait for the coming of Yahshua. So, Paul is stressing here to the Corinthians that Yah's will is for them to have spiritual gifts which will enrich them, and that every utterance and all knowledge might prepare them for the second coming. What a wonderful, wonderful concept. There is a reason for these gifts, and there is a reason for these offices that Yah has established within the body of Christ. And not only that we would be prepared, but that we be for his coming, but that we would be prepared blameless. And this is not the first time we've read that. Let's go forward. Oh, and also let us point out and note very carefully that he wants us to be in the same mind, with no divisions, no quarreling, no arguing over doctrine, that we would be of the same mind, speaking the same words. Well, this only makes sense. If we're going to witness to other people, if we're going to invite unbelievers into the body, and we speak different things, that would cause confusion, and they would not be interested in the message. It would have no real meaning for them. Let's go to our next scripture. It will be in 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. Ye also, as lively or living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Yah by Yahshua the Messiah. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed or rejected, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are a temple. We are a spiritual house. We are a holy priesthood, chosen of Yah. And we have a standard. We have a chief cornerstone. We have a capstone. We have a reference from which to build. There should be no question as to how we build this house, for it is built upon no other foundation but the firm foundation of Yahshua himself. To those who are disobedient, Yahshua is a stone of stumbling. He is a rock of offense. And we too are a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to them that are disobedient. We are a holy nation, God's own peculiar people, that we should announce, proclaim, declare forth his praises, and give testimony to others that we have been delivered from the darkness of sin unto his marvelous light of righteousness. We have a testimony to give. Keep all of these thoughts within the context of spiritual gifts. Now, Ephesians 4, Ephesians 4, 1 through 15. Ephesians 4, 1 through 15. To further illuminate the purpose for these gifts. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Almighty Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting or equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, or for the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Yah, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, our Messiah. Yes, he gave some offices to his church. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, and for the building up or edifying of the body of Christ. And this must be done until we come into the unity of the faith, until the complete knowledge of the Son of Yah, and until we become perfect men and women, as Christ himself. We are to grow up into the full stature of Christ. And back to Ephesians chapter 2, 18 through 22. For through him, that is Christ, we both, and in context here, it's talking about Gentiles and Jews. Today it would be believers and unbelievers. For through Christ we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of Yah, and are built up or are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Yahshua the Messiah himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in Yah, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of Yah through his Spirit. Get this very clearly focused in your mind. Yah's will is to have a people, a chosen generation, a holy priesthood, a church, a body of people, of human being creatures, who are fitly joined together in unity, such that Yah himself can live within them and show forth his character, his glory, and his true purpose. And he gives these spiritual gifts, and he gives these spiritual offices and positions of responsibility so that his body will be fitly framed together, and that the ministry of that body will be successful in producing a people that are called out of darkness into light, that will be ready to stand before Christ at his second coming and fit for translation without seeing death. This is his will. This is his plan. And for 2,000 years now, almost, he has been working through his last day church, seeking to accomplish this end. His goal is to edify the church. And to edify means to build up with knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and don't forget constructive criticism in building a house. From time to time, the carpenter will make an error in sawing a board, and he will have to modify that. He will have to choose another piece of raw material and cut the piece out and put it in its place. Now that board that was cut too short may be used in another place in that building, but it cannot be used in the initial place it was intended. There are times when men have been, they thought they were called into the ministry, and then they realized that they were not really fit for the ministry, and they had to be placed in another place. We need to understand what our gift is. Just because someone professes to have a gift doesn't mean they have one. But everyone that is called out of light, out of darkness into his marvelous light, will be given a gift. Or maybe more than one gift to exercise for the building up, for the edification of the body. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3. Second Timothy 3:15-17. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, and that from a child, from being a baby, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in the Messiah Yahshua. All scripture is given by inspiration of Yah and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of Yah may be perfect or complete, thoroughly or completely furnished unto all good works. So, within this framework of ministry, within this framework of the gifts of the Spirit, we have the Word. We have the Holy Scriptures, which we use to edify the body. And that Scripture, all of this Scripture, is profitable for doctrine, for our teaching, for reproof. Rebuke and reproof, we had a message on that recently. Perhaps that one will be on the internet sometime soon, I hope. For correction and for instruction in righteousness. This is a part of edification. This is a part of building up the body of Christ. Now, I have made a list of scriptures And we want to read. I want to just go down and read all of these scriptures that are, they're in the New Testament, and they're speaking about edification. And that's all we're going to cover today. I want to give you an introduction to these spiritual gifts to let you understand fully that these gifts are given for the purpose of edification, building up the body, and preparing a people to be perfected in holiness and blameless before Yah at Yahshua's second coming. That's the whole purpose for these gifts. Let's turn to Acts chapter 9. I have quite a long list of scriptures here to read. Acts chapter 9. And verse 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. And they were edified and walking in the fear of Yah and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. They were multiplied. You say, why did you choose that scripture? There's a lot in that scripture. Do you see it? When the churches were experiencing rest and peace, it was because they were edified. They were walking in the fear of Yah. And because of this edification and walking in the fear of Yah, they had the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And what came of that? They were multiplied. More people came into their ranks. When we're edified, when we're built up, there will be others coming in to the ranks. I recall in the early book of Acts, there at the day of Pentecost, when so many were gathered there for the feast of Pentecost, and it said 3,000 were added in a day. And at that time, there was the gift of tongues manifested there. And 3,000 were added to the body. They were edified. Let's go to Romans 14, 19. I just remembered that when the sister requested me to do a study on the spiritual gifts, she said something on the order that we need these gifts. The true church has these gifts. We need these gifts. And it's absolutely true. And it may be even truer that we have these gifts breathed upon us, but because we do not exercise them, we do not see the fruit of them. We are not edified by them because we do not exercise them. Romans 14, 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Of course, Paul is talking about, in this particular section, you know, he's talking about various problems they were having there with different ones judging other ones and weaker brothers and so forth. But the principle here is that if we follow after things that make for peace and things that will build up and edify, we will be exercising our spiritual gifts. Let's go to Romans 15, just a page over. 15, verse 2. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Now, does that say, let us please our neighbor? Let's say we have a young person that wants to run through the sanctuary. Do we just please that young person and say, well, let him run through the sanctuary? No, it says, please your neighbor for his good to edification. It's not for his good to run through the sanctuary. We must be willing to exercise the gift of correction for his edification, for his building up, for his increase of knowledge and wisdom. So let us not just be men pleasers. No, we're not men pleasers. But we want to please our neighbor by exercising the proper gift to edify them and build them up. 1 Corinthians 10:23. Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient or good. All things are lawful for me, but all things do not edify, or edify not. For instance, I wear a beard. I have a brother in the faith that feels strongly about beards. I don't know if it is a conviction or not, but it's a strong preference. And if it's not a conviction, it certainly is close to one. And I was somewhat of a stumbling block or a problem to him. And I came under the understanding and inspiration that I needed to edify him. I needed to build him up and not offend him. And so Yah had me wear a beard. It's lawful for me not to have a beard, but it is not expedient in terms of my relationship with this particular brother. So I have chosen the beard as a way to edify this particular brother. And we should examine ourselves to see how we might edify our brothers and sisters. Let's move on to 1 Corinthians 14:13. I'm touching on some of these specific gifts in the introduction, but I will not make any in-depth statements about them until we get further along in the study, perhaps next week. 1 Corinthians 14:13 says, "Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret." I made an error in copy there. I believe that was supposed to be verse 12. Excuse me for that. 1 Corinthians 14:12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. That's the one I wanted. Verse 14:12 is the one we wanted there. This supports what I've been saying along the way. Yes, you are to be zealous in spiritual gifts, but seek the gift and be excellent in edifying the church. Building up the church. Building up those people that are present already. And more than that, bringing in more members. Reaching out to bring them in. So these gifts are being exercised to build up what is already there and to reach out and bring in fresh material. New members. Now, back to verses 4 and 5 in the same chapter. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I wish or would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edification or edifying. So here, we're touching on two gifts right here, aren't we? Three gifts. We're touching on the gift of different kinds of tongues, and we're touching on the gift of prophecy, and we're touching on the gift of interpretation of tongues. But we're touching on these gifts in the context of edification. So whatever this tongue is, and we'll go into this more deeply later on. By the way, and I will repeat this on downstream, the word unknown in the King James Bible is not in the original. If you will notice in your King James Bible, the word unknown is italicized. Does everybody see that in their King James Version? The word unknown is italicized. That means that man has added that word. I looked up the original language for this phrase here, unknown tongue, and what that means is a foreign language. That means foreign language. The King James writers could have said foreign tongue, but they chose to use unknown tongue. But the word unknown there is not in the original. It's been added by man. And the point that we're making out of these two scriptures, really, in context to edification, is that the church is to be edified. Going forward to 1 Corinthians 14:12. Same chapter, 14:12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous, I already read that one. For as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Okay, what was it I had up here? It must not have been verse 12 that I wanted. Let's see. Oh, it was verse 3. I see it now. When I copied this down, I said 1 Corinthians 14:13. It should have been 3. That was my copy error. Let's go read it. 1 Corinthians 14:3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Now there's three words we need to note. Edification, exhortation. I'm writing these in my notes. And comfort. Those are the three concepts that we want to get across in relationship to our spiritual gifts. If our spiritual gifts are not edifying the church, if they are not exhorting the church members, if they're not comforting the church members, then it's a misuse of those gifts. Okay? Now, we've already covered verse 12. Now, we'll go same chapter, verse 17. 1 Corinthians 14:17. For thou verily giveth thanks well, but the other is not edified. Well, let's see. We're reading that out of context. Oh, okay, that goes back to verse 13 and 14 about the tongue. Let's put that one on hold until we get specifically to the tongues subject. And go on to verse 26. How is it then, brethren, that's chapter 14, verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Okay, so every one of us have a gift, and every one of us have something to share with the body. Paul is saying, let all things be done unto edifying, or building up. Second Corinthians, chapter 10. Second Corinthians, chapter 10. Verses 8 through 10. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which Yah hath given us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. That I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible or common. Let such an one think this, that such as we are in the word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. Actually, I went on to verse 11 there. I just thought it kind of fit. Paul is speaking with authority here. Paul was an apostle. Yah gives apostles authority. And Paul had the gift of apostleship bestowed upon him. He had many other spiritual gifts too. And he said he should boast somewhat of his authority in Yah, because it's been given for edification. Now, if Paul didn't edify the church, he would have nothing to to boast about. In one other place he says, if we do boast, let us boast in Yah. Paul knew full well that his authority, his office, his gifts, everything came from Yah. If you remember how Saul was called to be Paul on the road to Damascus, he was very humbled, wasn't he? Oh yes, he thought he knew what was right and wrong, and he was humbled right there on the road to Damascus and came into submission to the true church. That he would speak with authority because he was edifying the church. Let's go on to 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 19. And again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before Yah in the Messiah. But we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. Paul says, everything we do is for the edifying of the church. Whether we're rebuking, whether we're reproving, whether we're instructing, whether we're encouraging, whether we're counseling, whether we're teaching, whatever we're doing, the purpose is edifying, building up the body of the Messiah. If any man, any woman, any person is trying to build up themselves, they're not doing the work of the Holy Spirit. Second Corinthians 13:10. Paul continues, therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which Yah hath given me to edification and not to destruction. Now why would he be saying something about, why would he have to be qualifying this? Why would he have to be saying, I'm not doing this to destroy you? Do you suppose, and he's talking about using sharpness here, do you suppose that he was having to use a certain apostolic authority here? Do you suppose he was having to say, sister, you're out of line? Do you suppose he was having to say, brother, you need to stop doing what you're doing? Do you suppose that's the case? Because why else would he be saying, I'm not trying to destroy you? He says, I'm trying to edify you. So, as and part of, I won't get into that today, but part of what I've been learning as I've been studying these spiritual gifts is that we are not exercising our gifts properly. And we have a right to use authority. If someone is not dressed properly, we have the unction from the Holy Spirit to let that person know. If that person is eating to their damnation, if their diet is incorrect, we have the authority from Yah to edify them and let them know that they're hurting the temple of Yah. Oh, I'm thankful for the little reminder of my health. Because you see, if I hurt my health, what am I doing? I'm tearing down the body. If you're not treating your body temple properly, you're hurting not only yourself, you're hurting the whole body. What if on Sabbath some of us could not come for sickness sake? We're missing that member. We hurt because of that missing member. Oh, I would love to see all of us in a picture of health. I look forward to the day. I pray for the day when each of us can come into this place in a perfect picture of health. Holy, blameless before you. And it's possible, you know. It is possible. I have seen in my own life, in a short period of time, how health can be just turned right around and reversed and go the other direction. But we must persevere. We must pray. We must believe. We must take responsibility for ourselves. And we must accept the direction and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Whatever He tells us to do, we must be obedient children. In Acts 5, I believe it's about verse, let's look it up. Acts 5, 32, I think it is. Acts 5, yes, Acts 5, 32. And we are His witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom Yah hath given to them that obey Him. He has given the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him. Now, if Yah tells you to quit eating so much, are you going to quit eating so much? If you have the Holy Spirit, you will. You will obey. If Yah tells you to walk a mile a day, or 2 miles a day, or 3 miles a day, if you have the Holy Spirit, you will obey Him. If He says, quit eating those chocolate candy bars, or whatever, when you have the Holy Spirit, you will obey Him. And in doing so, you will edify the body of Christ. You will build up that holy temple. You say, oh, it's just my body. No, you are bought with a price. You're not your own. You belong to Him. And you are a living stone, built a spiritual house. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. When He tells us or instructs us, or edifies us, then we obey Him. It says He gives His Spirit to those who obey Him. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verses 12, 16, and 29. Ephesians 4, 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This is what He gave apostles, prophets, pastors, and evangelists and teachers for. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, that's held together, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.